Yasher Koyach, thank you all for coming. Thank you, Rabbi Orlian, for asking me to give the shiur. I was supposed to give the shiur, I think, on three other occasions a semester or something like that, and each time we were unable to do it, so Baruch Hashem, we're able to now meet and to learn together. So what we are discussing today is a sensitive and complicated topic that is also very relevant to halacha lamaisa. We're discussing questions of avodah zarah. Now, if you become rabbonim, or even if you just grow up to be human beings, you will encounter questions. I didn't mean that like you're not human beings yet. It was just an attempt at a joke. But inevitably, you will encounter questions of avodah zarah. I do get some shilas regarding avodah zarah in terms of like Eastern religions, people who go to or want to go to Sikh temples. I've had someone who purchased a certain elephant with like diamonds in the eyes when she was on vacation in India, only to find out that this might have been like some sort of deity there. Those questions you can get, but the most likely question that you will get regarding avodah zarah is the question of Christianity and what is the status of Christianity. Now let's just take a step back for a second. What we are really talking about are questions relating to the integration of Jews in the society around us, right? Many people who come from a Western mindset, and I'm assuming that we all, to a greater extent or a lesser extent, are coming from some Western mindset, so we have a certain amount of difficulty whenever we encounter a question of Jews being different than the rest of the world. It's a question that goes against the Ikar HaEmuna in Western society is equality, and there are large questions whenever someone says, well, Judaism doesn't believe in equality between religions, and that, by the way, is true, no? We really do believe that we have the truth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Our Torah is true. Other religions might be fine, wonderful people, but they don't got the truth. Well, that's one way of saying it. But when you say it that way, you end up with these questions. Well, I think I have the truth. They think they have the truth. And that ends up leading to a question of pluralism, a question of, well, how do I know my truth is a real truth and maybe their truth is a real truth and your truth is good for you? If it's good for you, it's good for me. And like we all link arms and sing kumbaya. You have no idea what I'm talking about. That's fine. The point is that for many people in the Western world, any question relating to Klal Yisrael being different, relating to a concept of avodah zarah, is a question that's off limits, and therefore there's a certain impetus, there's a certain feeling that we want to try to minimize differences between us and them. And that is a reality that we confront. Me'idach, you go through Chumash, and you read descriptions of avodah zarah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah gives us very, very harsh descriptions of avodah zarah. Right, Rabbi Yaakov Zvi Mecklenburg notes that all the descriptions of avodah zarah in Chumash are vile terms. Shaketz tishaktsenu. You know what that means? You should treat avodah zarah like it's disgusting. That means that we should not want anything to do with avodah zarah. Our attitude toward avodah zarah should be feh, repulsive, no? Ask your great-grandparents about what their attitude was toward Christianity. I hope you have great-parents. If you don't, ask your grandparents. Your grandparents might be too young. But my father remembers growing up as a kid in Montreal that the French Catholics would beat the living daylights out of the Jewish boys on their way to yeshiva. That's why they all wore like little caps. They didn't want to wear yarmulkes. Apparently, they didn't notice them if they were wearing a little cap. And how did the Jews respond to this? They would respond by reciting an old poem in Yiddish, Yashke Pondrak Lichtingsred Upgefundert Via Ferd. And there's like many different stanzas. That means as the French Catholic kids are beating up my father and his friends in Montreal in the 30s and 40s, the response was, Yushka Pundrik, that's a Yiddish expression for Jesus, Lichtendreht, he is in hell, upgefundert wie a Pferd, he is all nailed up like a horse. And one time during a family meal, Dr. David Berger is over, and my father like told the story about how he used to be beaten up, and this is the poem that they recited. And Dr. Berger is like, oh, that's amazing, because that poem has a history of a few hundred years. There is a very old Jewish response to attacks that came often from Catholics, no? And the response is that we, in Yiddish, we give these imprecations. We give, like, these curses to them. That was a very Jewish response. Now, Baruch Hashem, we have been zeiche to live in a world where the official church is really changing and has changed. Since Vatican II, the official doctrine of the Catholic Church has been that Jews are not really guilty of deicide, no? If you want to understand why Catholics hated us for all these hundreds and hundreds of years, well, if I would kill your God, he would hate me, no? It's kind of obvious. But once we're not guilty of deicide, and the church largely, after Vatican II and the Pope John Paul II, who died like, what, 20 years ago or so, and this new Pope Francis are very, there was a guy Benedict in between, these popes are actually very liberal, and they are coming to a point where organized Christianity is viewed by many Jews as not being as bad as it was the way our grandparents viewed it. And Baruch Hashem, you know, today we live in a world where the organized church is not a symbol of hatred for Jews. I was walking to Shul, Leil HaSeder, and those of you who know Washington Heights, to walk from my apartment down to my shul, you pass by a large church. And it was Good Friday, and they're doing the Stations of the Cross. And when they do the Stations of the Cross, you know, they're all outside and they're singing and the crosses are there. And my grandparents would have tzittered. They would have had like a trembling of fear. Because Good Friday, Easter, right? This is times when Jews were beaten up, if you're lucky. And Baruch Hashem, we live at a time when people can actually post on Facebook, like, Shvoich HaMoscha El HaGoyim, why do we have it anymore? What's Shvoich HaMoscha? Why should you be angry at Goyim? Well, if you live with any sense of history, you realize, okay, so since 1960, we've had almost 60, since the late 60s, mid-60s, we've had, well, almost 60 years when the church hasn't really been out to get us. How many hundreds and hundreds of years? Right, so you say a Shveicha Moscha at a Seder, that's what it's about. Right, that's what Shveicha Moscha is about. And only people from a very, there's a point that my wife actually made at our Seder this year to the kids. You know, only people who grew up in one particular slice of American history can ever raise a question, Hayitachin to say Shveicha Moscha. So our attitude toward Christianity, the historic attitude toward Christianity, was what the Torah says, Shake Seshek Tzenu, no questions asked. Only recently has Baruch Hashem, have we gotten to a point that, you know what, we live in a Medina Shel Chesed and the church is not acting the way the church acted for many, many, many hundreds of years beforehand, and only now do we have questions. But the question that we're going to grapple with is not a question of attitude. It's a question of halacha. Right? This is not contemporary attitudes. Right? The course is called contemporary halacha. Contemporary attitudes toward Christianity are complicated. They're complicated. But contemporary halacha, we believe, Zos HaTorah, Tei Mukhlefes, we believe that Torah is what Torah is. Torah doesn't change. And the halachic questions that we have to deal with are largely the same as the halachic questions beforehand, because although Christianity has changed its attitude, but its halachos have not changed, no? Anyone who knows anything about the church knows that if you think Orthodox Jews move slowly, ha 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 ha, right? They move much slower. And their theology and their notions have not changed. So the question that we are dealing with today is going to be a halachic question. It's the status of Christianity in halacha. There are diverse opinions, different shitos. But the question of attitude is a separate question. Now this means, like, just to give you a practical example, one of the halachic issues that we'll discuss is whether it's mutter to enter a church. Rabbi Bleich points out in his article about this, which is in tradition number 44, it's also, I believe, in the Temporary Halachic Problems, volume 5. Rabbi Bleich says that any traditional Jew would have been revolted by the notion of entering a church. Jews in the Holocaust, to save their lives, right? It was, again, it's a halachic question, but it was also a question like, how could I do this? This is like against everything I stand for. Today, right, when you have rabbis who stand up in front of a church wearing their talis and darshaning, that is like so foreign from the traditional Jewish attitude. No? So completely foreign from the traditional Jewish attitude. I'm becoming like a real, you know, Haredi in my old age. What can we do? But I don't think this is fine. So now, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin Samach Dalet, Samach Gimel, Samach Dalet, whatever, that Kol Leitzanusa Asur Chutz Meleitzanusa Avodah Zarah, meaning to say that our attitude toward Avodah Zarah should be, and Rav Huttner explains this in his first Maimer, in Pachad Yitzchok Kampurim, our attitude toward Avodah Zarah should be that we put it down. Leitzanus, Rav Huttner explains, means that something that has chashivas you lower. That's the definition of Leitzanus. Avodah Zarah, we are supposed to do Leitzanus for. It's interesting, Rav Huttner understands that Leitzanus of Avodah Zarah is almost like a mitzvah. You're supposed to put Avodah Zarah down. We want to give Avodah Zarah no chashivas whatsoever. And if we are going to say that Christianity is Avodah Zarah, which I think is the majority and accepted shita among Jews for thousands of years, so then we are going to have to conclude that our attitudes should follow from what the halacha says. Even though Baruch Hashem, Teisilon, Baruch Hashem was zeicha to live at a time when the church is showing a different attitude, but as Rav Soloveitchik always pointed out, Judaism believes that our emotions should be a product of halacha, no? Rather than having our emotions drive halacha. Is this a correct hakdama? Whether it is or isn't, I gave it. So let's go back there. Okay. What's the status of Christianity? Is Christianity Avodah Zarah? So there are three different shitas in Rishonim. The three shitas in Rishonim are yes, no, maybe. Okay, that's the whole share. Yes, no, maybe. In the yes camp, that Christianity is Avodah Zarah, you have the Rambam. The Rambam, if you have the Makoros, we'll kind of go through them relatively quickly. The Rambam tells us in the Perish HaMishnah, the first parak of Avodah Zarah, right, there are festivals that the Mishnayis in the first parak of Avodah Zarah mentioned that we're not allowed to do business with the Goyim before those festivals. And, right, says the Rambam, Vida, it's the second line in the Perish HaMishnah, Shezos Ha'uma Hanotis Ha'omedes B'tainis HaMashiach Al Chiluf Kitoseha. That's actually a very interesting line. The Rambam says that this Christian people who believes in Mashiach, now, that doesn't mean that we Jews don't believe in Mashiach, but there's a fundamental difference, no? Jews believe that Mashiach will come. Christians believe Mashiach came, right? A little difference, right? That is, right, the Uma HaNotris, HaOmedes B'tainis HaMashiach Al Chiluf Kitoseha. That's a very important line. The Rambam is sophisticated enough to know that there are different groups among Christians. Now, if you engage in conversations with people regarding Christianity, so someone who has studied a little bit will always say, one second, which type of Christians are you talking about? Talking about Catholics or talking about Protestants? You're talking about this group, that group, the other group, right? There are dozens and dozens of groups of Christians. The Rambam says, with all of their groups, kulam ivdei avodah zarah, v'ideihen kulam asurim, v'nohagen imayim b'chol ha'tayra k'mo shenohagen ivdei avodah zarah, etc. So the Rambam, Sunday is a festival of avodah zarah. We have to act with Christians like we act with ivdei avodah zarah. So the Rambam in Perish HaMishnah, and by the way, if you trace this Perish HaMishnah of the Rambam in all of the different versions, it's there. And it gets only harsher the more you go to the correcter versions of the Rambam in Perish HaMishnah. Right? The worst edition of the Perish HaMishnah of the Rambam is the one we have in the back of the Gemara. The Ibn Tibbin translation is just awful. Right? There are good editions of the Perish HaMishnah. The Kafik edition is better. The Rav Shelat edition is better. Now in Malay Adumim there's another new edition that's coming out. Right? But the Rambam clearly in Perish HaMishnah assumes that Christianity is avodah zarah with all of its groups. Now, which groups of Christians did the Rambam know about? Every time I give this share, I try to make a mental note to myself that I should ask people who know this stuff. I don't know. The Rambam's obviously before the Protestant movement, no? A little bit of history. Now, when was Martin Luther? And if anyone tells me he was killed 50 years ago, aufgehackte Zaris. When was Martin Luther? Louder?
1470s, 1490s.
That's about when he was born, yeah. Okay. Right, around the 16th century, 15th, 16th century, that's Martin Luther. Martin Luther founded Protestantism. The Rambam is long before that, no? The Rambam died in 1204, 1205. So I'm not sure what the Rambam meant when he talks about the different groups of Christians, but the Rambam is saying that they're all Oyvdei Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam has this in Halacha, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah Perek Tes, in Hilchos Macholos Asuros Perek Yud Aleph. The Rambam tells me that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. Now, if you would stop any Christian on the street, and you'd say, my dear Christian, just walk down the street, tell me, are you an Oyver Avodah Zarah? What would he say? First of all, he'd say, who are you to ask me these questions? Second of all, he'd say, of course not. No? Any Christian would say, I am not an Oved Avodah Zarah. And even though a Christian believes in a triune God, that there are three parts. There's God, the Father, the Ghost. No? Basically, there are three parts of the Godhead. Nonetheless, I feel bad, because like whenever I give shiurim to guys, I have to like teach them things that are outside of the Gemara. Like the last year I gave in like a contemporary halacha type forum, I spoke about homosexuality, and like I had to explain certain things to guys, which they didn't know otherwise. So now, let's teach you about Christianity, Shine, right? So, Christianity is a religion that they believe in, that they are is a triune God. There are three parts to God. However, any Christian would say that when they talk about three parts to God, they do not mean that there are three separate gods. There are three parts to God. Mushal, 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 mushal. Right? Lahavdil elef avdolos. To when we speak about the spheros, there are different aspects of the Ribbono Shel Olam, different ways that the Ribbono Shel Olam manifests himself in the world. But Chas v'Shalom, we believe Hashem Echad. No, when you say Kriya Shema every day, you should have Kavana that Achdus Hashem means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is united in a way that nothing else in the planet can be united. Nothing else anywhere can be united. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's uniqueness is not the uniqueness of I am a single person, but I'm a single person with different parts. My finger is a single finger, but there are different parts of the finger. Even my cell, right? Each cell has different parts, no? The Achdus HaBore is Achdus, right? In a way that is more Echad than anything else, which is why Rav Soloveitchik did not like the singing of the poem, Echad Mi Yodea, quote from Reb Chaim, not to sing Echad Mi Yodea, to say there. Because Echad Mi Yodea sounds like the Ribbono Shel Olam is one, and if you say the Ribbono Shel Olam is one, that is Kfira. Because one implies one part of, or the beginning of two. Well, the Ribbono Shel Olam is not one in the sense of something that leads to two. The Ribbono Shel Olam's oneness, Ribbono Shel Olam's uniqueness is unique in a way that nothing else is unique like this. That's what Hashem Echad means. Midas HaRachman and Midas HaDin is all the same. Right? Achdus Hashem, and I'm not even getting into Tanya of Yichud Elyon, Yichud Tato, and what all the different parts, all the different aspects mean. But there's Achdus HaBeirei, which for us is a fundamental yesod. Well, a Christian would say, I also believe in Achdus, but I believe in 3 equals 1. It's like 3 parts. However, Judaism, as understood by the Rambam, says, no, you're making a mistake. Because when you guys talk about Achdus, that 3 equals 1, the fact that one part of your God took on a human form in the sense of Yeshu HaNotzri, that by definition means that your Achdus is not our Achdus. By definition, when a Christian speaks about unity of God and that there are 3 parts, if one part of that God can take on a human form, by definition, that is not real Achdus, no? Because the Rambam in Yesod HaRishon and Yesod HaShlishi, which all, they all come together, basically, for the Rambam. That's why Rabbi Yosef Albo felt that all the Yesodis relating to God are like one. But the Rambam tells me that the Ribbono Shel Olam can't have a physical form, because anything with a physical form can be broken down into different parts. And the Ribbono Shel Olam's Achdus is Achdus beyond anything else. So a Christian would say that, no, we are not pagans, God forbid. The Christians made fun of the pagans. But, and you ask any Christian on the street, they'd say, no, we believe in one God. But then when you get involved in the conversation more and more, the Rambam says Christianity's got to be Avodah Zarah. Because the very fact that their God occupied a human body indicates that it is not a pure oneness. And that for the Rambam is called Avodah Zarah. The Raya of that for the Rambam, whatever is not pure oneness is called Avodah Zarah, is from the Rambam when he wrote his history of Avodah Zarah, no? By the way, the Rambam in Moreh writes that he read all the books of all the Oidei Avodah Zarah, no? The Rambam was quite well read. We have like one philosopher at least in the room, right? But the Rambam was very well read in this stuff. And the Rambam tells us in Perek Aleph of Avodah Zarah, Halacha Aleph, in the days of Enosh, people made a gigundous mistake, right? And their mistake was that they said that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hov HaLokim Baruch HaYichovim Eilu, V'Galgal Mahayin Negas Olam, Anasu B'Marom, V'Cholak Lam Kovet, Dehem Shamoshim Meshamshim L'Fonav, Ru'u Yimei Meshamcha L'Farom, V'Lachol Ham Kovet. They said HaKadosh Baruch Hu created sun, moon, stars, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to give them Kovet, therefore we will do certain things which is like worshipping them. Because they are God's assistants, as it were. And for the Rambam, that is Avodah Zarah. And when you think about it, what that means is, the earliest Oivdei Avodah Zarah, called Enosh was doing something that we are going to be talking about today, called Shituf. Enosh is worshipping a true God. Or, not Lav Davka Enosh himself, but Dar Enosh, was worshipping a true God. But they are worshipping other things also because those other things are aspects of God, things that God wants me to respect. Zok the Rambam, that is Avodah Zarah. The Rambam's attitude toward Shituf is the key term in understanding Christianity. The Rambam's attitude toward Shituf is that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. Shituf is defined as association. When you worship a true God and you also worship other things, das heißt Avodah Zarah for Rambam. If I don't say it in Yiddish, you won't understand it. That is Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah means that, right? Avodah Zarah is not that you're worshiping something that's completely false. Yes, That is Avodah Zarah. But there's also Avodah Zarah for the Rambam, which is pure, unadulterated Avodah Zarah in the sense of Shituf. This is a point that Rav Shelat makes. A number of those who wrote on this topic make the point. For the Rambam, Shita Rishona in the Sugya, the Rambam holds Christianity is Avodah Zarah. Shituf is the beginning of what a full-fledged Avodah Zarah. Shituf is Avodah Zarah. Basically, end of conversation. For the Rambam, nothing to talk about, right? The Umma HaNotris Al Kol Chiluf Ki Tolseha, all of the different groups, whatever that meant, that is Avodah Zarah. Good? Now, if I move on from the Rambam, however, I come to other Rishonim, the Me'iri. I think the Me'iri died in 1305, no? Something like that? We don't know when he was born, really. What?
1310.
Sorry. Right? We're not exactly...
1306.
There are different versions when he died. I'm not exactly sure what happened to the Me'iri at the end of his life. Usually you know when the Rishon dies, but you don't know when he was born. Because when he was born, he wasn't called the Me'iri. He was called the little kid named Menachem. Then later on, he grew up and he became the famous Me'iri. If someone is super famous, they know when he was born. The Me'iri, we always assess, we guess when people are born. We don't really know. The Me'iri died, let's say, the beginning of the 14th century, right? Nanir Shekein. The Me'iri has the Shita, which is the opposite extreme of the Rambam. The Me'iri holds, and this Me'iri was originally made famous by Professor Jacob Katz, but this Me'iri was well known. Let me just give you a word to the wise about the Me'iri. Some people tell you that you can never bring the Me'iri into halakhic conversations because the Me'iri was basically a missing text. Now, there is a argument that the Chazon Ish had against the entire Mishneh Berurah, that how can the Mishneh Berurah quotes new Svarim, like the Me'iri, this goes against the halakhic Mesorah, maybe these Svarim were hidden for a reason. Now, even if the Me'iri, the complete text of the Me'iri was not known, a few things to be said. First of all, the Me'iri was printed at the beginning of the 18th century one time. There's an article by Toshma called Seder HaPosasam Shor Rishonim, where he points out that there was a Me'iri printed at the beginning of the 18th century, which is around the time when all Rishonim were printed. But the Me'iri was never printed again until the Sofer edition of the Me'iri, which came out like in the 1940s, no? Abraham Sofer, Abraham Schreiber, put out an edition of the Me'iri, which is still the standard edition that, like, we have in the Beis Medrash downstairs. Now, The Me'iri's attitude toward Christianity. Well, I'll say it like this. I didn't finish that thought. Me'iri, basically, even if you're going to tell me that the Me'iri in general was not well known, this particular Me'iri was well known because this aspect of the Me'iri is called by the Shita Mekubetzos and Bavakama on Kuf Yud Gimel. And if you want to know how Jews learned before we had Mosad Rav Kook Rishonim, they used Shita Mekubetzos, no? So this Shita of the Me'iri was well known. And it's actually even quoted on the side of the page in Bava Kama Kuf Yud Gimel, which is a daf about Gezel Akum. And the reason it's quoted on the side of the page is obvious, because you want to kind of take the sting out of a sugya that could really get the non-Jewish censors very upset. So the Me'iri's Shita is that Christianity is a mistake. Christianity is wrong. Christianity is bad, I would even say. But it certainly is not Avodah Zarah. Now, there was a bit of discussion about what exactly the Me'iri said. Some suggested that the Me'iri meant his comment more as apologetics rather than being sincere conviction. That the Me'iri might not have actually meant that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. Some suggest that. However, there are so many comments of the Me'iri in so many different mesechtes when he doesn't really have to say what he said to get to the point where he got, that the Me'iri seems to really believe what he said. The Bali HaTosis about the Bayakasha, the first Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, says, I'm not allowed to do business with the going before the holiday. In fact, the Bali HaTosis, we have a stira between the Mishnah and what people actually did. People actually did business with the Christians around them before the holiday. So the Bali HaTosis have four answers, no? The Rosh has like a fifth answer, which the Bali HaTosis suggests but reject. There are five answers known from the basic Rishonim, the famous answers as Mishum Eva, right, that we are allowed to do business with them because they're going to hate us otherwise, and hating us might lead to Pekuach Nefesh for Jews, so maybe that's permitted. That answer actually the Bali HaTosis reject. The Bali HaTosis said other answers that Rabbi Nutam suggested, that maybe the only things that you're not allowed to sell to the Goyim and to buy from the Goyim are animals that they can use for Akrava Favo Dezara, but other stuff is permitted. Right? Rabbi Nutam always has a way of trying to define Isurim by saying that there's Tzvei Dinim, and say that the halachas of the first pact of Avodah Zarah is only about animals. That's Rabbi Nutam Shita. But comes on the Me'iri. And the Me'iri gives one broad answer, where he says that, you know what, when the Mishnayos at the beginning of Avodah Zarah speak about how we can't do business with the Goyim, they're talking about Amaladika Goyim. Goyim from the Friedrich Zeitung, right? They're talking about Goyim from previous times, the type of Goyim who were not governed by the rule of law. But the Me'iri, in a famous line, speaks about when we have Umos Hagadurim Bedarche Hadassos, when we have nations who are ruled by the rule of law, we're not dealing with Christians who are barbarians. We're dealing with people who have laws. So Zok the Me'iri, for them, all the Mishnais in the first pack of Avodah Zarah don't apply. Now, you have to be careful. The Me'iri is not getting rid of all the halachos in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Bishul Akum, all the prohibitions that are a chashash of intermarriage still apply. That's something that Halbertal mentions in the article that I refer to at the end of this source packet, and Halbertal has an entire book about the Me'iri, where he spends a lot of time on this. But effectively, the Me'iri is telling me that, you know what? All of these halachos don't apply because they are umos hagadurim medarche hadassos. But the Me'iri is marche kleches. He goes even further. And the Me'iri tells me in Meseches Yuma, on Pei Gimel, that in the sugya of Chalol Shabbos, Me'iri says, you're allowed to be Chalol Shabbos for Goyim today, no? For Christians. Wow. Right, we're not going to discuss that. That's already razzle-dazzle. But the Me'iri says, and I think that's a Rabbi Sabalovsky word, right? So the Me'iri says that you can be Mechav Shabbos. And there's a Me'iri in Harios, who's Marchik Leches even further. The Me'iri in Harios says that if a Jew, Rachmana Litzlan, becomes a mummer, the Jew becomes a person who abides to a different faith. Zot the Me'iri, if that Jew abides to Christianity, he retains the status of Yisrael, Afal B'Shachata Yisrael. He's making a mistake. No, I said it backwards. Zok the Me'iri, if a Jew takes on a religion that becomes a barbarian, right, becomes someone who's not Umos Hagudim B'Darche Hadassos, so Yisrael B'Shachata Yisrael. But if a Yisrael becomes a Christian, he becomes a Christian. Not a mummer. This is already very wild, no? But if you read the Me'iri here in Harius, it's the bottom of page 2, top of page 3. Divam elo kulam kisha adayin shame Yisrael alehem. Shekosha shame Yisrael olav who mispake o mechalal as hadas uncho chomer ad harbe. Mipne shanasa min ukemisha ein lo das. Ha! Kosha yotza min haklau legamre. Vinasa loy ben das acheres harehu etzlenu kibne osa hadas shul nechnaspa. Zok the Me'iri. If a Jew becomes a member of a different religion, he becomes a member of that faith for everything with the exception of Gittin, Kedushin, Vizikasum, Kemosha, Yisba'er, Bimkoma, V'chein Horu, Rabosai. That last line, V'chein Horu, Rabosai, is very interesting because it sounds like the Me'iri said that my Rebbeim have been saying, Utgepaskind, right? I got it from my Rebbeim. My Rebbeim said they paskin this way, Lamaisa. So Meiri's attitude is that Christianity is not avodah zarah. Now, obviously, you have to analyze the Meiri very carefully, and all the scholars like spill much ink to try to analyze this Meiri. Rabbi Bleich, Shlita. Rabbi Bleich, by the way, if you want to know a Rosh Hashiva NYU who knows absolutely everything ever written and much of what has not been written, it is Rabbi J. David Bleich. In this book, The Philosophical Quest, Rabbi Bleich, on page 33 to 53, has an essay which is called Divine Unity in Maimonides, the Tosafists, and Meiri. And Rabbi Bleich suggests that the Meiri believed Christianity was not avodah zarah because the Christians who lived around the Meiri, right, the Meiri lived in Provence. Provence is the French Riviera, no? And the Meiri was surrounded, says Rabbi Bleich, by Christians who actually had heretical notions of Christianity. Not heretical from our perspective, but from the Christian perspective, their notions of Christianity were heretical. And the goyim around the Meiri were Unitarians. And therefore it's not avodah zarah. And says Rabbi Bleich, this might be the pshat in the Meiri, but be it as it may, let's be honest, no one really holds like the Meiri. The Meiri is a collector's item. I think the Nusach, Rabbi Bleich quotes from Rabbi Heshi Reichman in an article in The Commentator. People know there's like a newspaper here called The Commentator. Okay, I feel like it's my job to teach you stuff. So for the Philistines among us, so there is a newspaper called The Commentator. They once interviewed Rabbi Heshi Reichman about Rav Soloveitchik's attitude towards Christianity and other stuff. And the Rav said that the Meiri Shita is like a mere collector's item. Here, let me read the Nusach. See Rabbi Herschel Reichman, Yeshiva University student newspaper, The Commentator, November 5th, 2006, page 21. Those comments on any disdain of how Meiri is a halachic authority, etc., etc., whatever. In other words, that basically it's a mere curiosity of no normative import. I think that's the Nusach. And Rabbi Bleich in the footnote points out that we're not saying the Meiri is not a halachic authority, we're just saying that this particular quote of the Meiri has no halachic validity. So, Hayotze, we have the Rambam on one extreme that Christianity is full-fledged avodah zarah, and then we have on the other extreme the Meiri who says that Christianity is not avodah zarah, but the Shita of the Meiri either was talking about certain Christians who zeizenet unzer neitzrim, zeizenet andere, no? Or what the Meiri is saying don't really matter because we don't really take the Meiri seriously, halachically. Okay? We need, like, Google Translate from Yiddish. Like, it will be a very useful thing to have, correct? There is. Oh, so you're tweeting like a live Yiddish translation?
I don't have the microphone on.
Okay. Now, Lu'umat Shitat HaRambam V'Shitat HaMe'iri Yesh Lanu Shita Memutza'at, which is the Shita of the Balei HaTosfos. The Balei HaTosfos take a middle-of-the-road position, but the Shita of the Balei HaTosfos requires a bit of explanation. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, at the first half of Bechairis and elsewhere, the Gemara tells me that Misayel el Avua de Shmuel, the Avua de Shmuel has a Shita that Osir lo Odom Sheyasa Shutfis im Hanochri. It's Osir for a Jew to enter partnership with a goy, Shami Yischayev lo Shavua, v'nishba b'avot azor v'shalov, rachmano amav, atayra amra, lo yisham al pich. I can't enter a partnership with a goy, because maybe the goy will become obligated to swear to me, and the goy, when he swears, or when she swears, is swearing with their avodah zarah, v'atayra amra, unzer tayra hotz, unz geshribin, that lo yisham al pich. That you're not allowed to cause the name of avodah zarah to be uttered. That's what it says in the Gemara of avodah zarah. So the Balei HaTosfos are bothered by Akasha. Are you allowed to enter business? Are you allowed to have a partner as a Christian? So the Rashbam had a machlokes with his brother, who we call the Rabbeinu Tam. No, Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam have a machlokes. The Rashbam says that you're not allowed to accept a shavua from goyim. You can't enter business with goyim. It's all the same. all usher. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, that it's mutar lekabel himenu shavua kodem sheyafse, k'da Omer in the first parak of Avot Azara, milval pen nefra'en mimenu, mipnei shehu kematzel miyadon, v'lo chashinon dilma ozel umayda. Rabbi Yonatan basically says that you're allowed to enter a partnership with Goyim, and when you enter a partnership with Goyim, you can accept a shavua from them, because it's matzel miyadon, because you're saving money from them. You're saving your money. So therefore, it's permitted. Now, this, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, sounds like Reform Judaism. No? There's an issue in the Torah. Lo yisham al picha. Zok Rabbeinu Tam. You know what? To save a few bucks, it's permitted. Woo! Best modern Orthodox kula ever. No? How do we understand this Rabbeinu Tam? Mipnei shu kematzu miyadam. What's Rabbeinu Tam saying? You can't. There are no Yiddish words to express the astonishment that we have on this Rabbeinu Tam. What's Rabbeinu Tam saying? So there is a beautiful sefer on Maseches Bechoros called the Reishis Bikurim. The Reishis Bikurim. A few years ago here in Yeshiva, I gave a shiur in memory of Rav Hirschsprung. Rav Hirschsprung was the chief. Any of you from Montreal? And Rav Hirschsprung was the chief rabbi in Montreal, and Rav Hirschsprung was a Jew like New Kol HaTerakula, and Rav Hirschsprung would say about people like Rav Hirschsprung mamish New Kol HaTerakula. He once told me that he was traveling from Montreal to Toronto, and the person who was driving him was like a little bit boring, so he decided to chazer every Maharsha in Baba Basra by heart. Wow, right? I don't know anyone else who has even learned every Maharsha and Baba Basra. Like, he knew every Maharsha and Baba Basra by heart. Rav Hirschsprung is a guy. Rav Hirschsprung used to comment all the time that today people use the term goyin in a very loose sort of way. Say, he's a goyin, he's a goyin, she's a goyin, she's a goyin, or whatever. And people use it very loosely. Zot Rav Hirschsprung, there's very few people who are an emes a goyin. He used to say that he felt that Rav Soloveitchik was an emes a goyin, and in Rav Hirschsprung's Haskama that he wrote on the Sefer Reishis Bikurim, he says this Reb Avram Weinreb, who was the Av Beis Din of Varsha before the war, was an emes a goyin. That's the Haskama he writes. It's like very brief. That's like big praise. So in the Reishis Bikurim, he has a few mahalchem to defend this Rabbeinu Tam. Either Rabbeinu Tam holds that the Isser of La Yishama Al Picha that the Jew is doing is considered an Issa D'Rabbanon, perhaps, like there are Chachmei Sfarad, the Ritva in Megillah Chof Ches says that, others say that. So maybe it's an Issa D'Rabbanon, if you assume D'Rabbanon, you don't have to lose your money. Maybe, says the Reishis Bikurim, the Issa is an Issa that you are violating the Sheval Taisa. Even though you speak to violate the Isser, you enter the Shutfis, but push comes to shove, the Goy is swearing, and you're violating the Isser B'Shev Al-Taisa. Maybe, says the Reishis Bikurim, this I think is the most creative answer he gives, maybe it is a Isser that is a Dover Shein Miskaven. You enter a partnership with the Goy, you tell the Goy, we'll call him Slobodan, Slobodan, you have to swear. You hope Slobodan is not going to swear, we'll just pay up the money. If Slobodan decides to swear, right? So you don't want that. That's called the Dover Shein Miskaven. Right? That's like a chap. It's a chap. And that's why maybe the Rabbeinu Tam was matir doing business with the goyim and accepting a shavua from them. But Hayotze, there's a machlokas. The Rashbam says you can't do business with goyim, you can't accept a shavua. The Rabbeinu Tam says you can do business with goyim, you can accept a shavua. So then, in the middle of this Taisus, and this is like where the Taisus gets good, right? So in the middle of the Taisus, Taisus says, "Loi chayshin on dilma azul amoy." They were not worried that the guy is going to thank his deity. Ba'afagav the hasim safik v'achavad. I mikol makom bizman hazakulam nishbaim bekedeshim shalahem ve'ein tovsim bahem elokos or elohos. When they swear, the Nusach HaShavua that the Goyim use is not to God. The Nusach HaShavua is to the saints. In Dr. Berger's book, about Chabad, this is the book, The Rebbe, the Messiah, and the Scandal of Orthodox Indifference. So on page 175, footnote 2, he points out that the official text of Shavua that they swore is, "I swear in the name of omnipotent God and the and the four sacred gospel evangelia, right? That's the official nusach that they have. Basically, they're swearing in the names of the saints, and they don't attribute divinity to the saints, even though they mention God. And when they mention God, they are not thinking about our God, who kayadua Einlo guf, einlo demus haguf. Right? They're not talking about that. When they mention the name God, they kavanosum ledavar acher, they're thinking of Yeshu Hanotri. Mikol makom ein zashem avodah zarah. Gam daitom lo'isa shemayim. Right? It's not technically an avodah zarah name. And their das is for the Rabbonu Shem who makes shemayim. Ve'af api shemishtatfim shem shemayim ledavar acher. Lo ashkechon to osur ligrei machem l'shatev, and there's no lifnei iver. Zuck the Tosfos, and this key line at the very end is the hardest part. And there's like Jews for hundreds of years have been fighting out what Tosfos meant. But Tosfos at the end says that even though they are mishatev shem shamayim v'davar acher, we have no iser ligrei la'acherim l'shatev. Now, there are really three approaches to the Tosis in Dr. Berger's book, but we will only focus on two of them. The Ramos approach to Tosis, and this Ramos in Orach Chaim Kuf Nun Vav, the Ramos approach to Tosis is that what Tosif is saying is that for Goyim, there is no Isser of Shituf. We define Shituf beforehand. Shituf means I believe in the true God plus. Says the Rama, that's what Tosis means. The Rama is saying that Tosis is saying that Goyim have no Isser of Shituf. The Nodib Yehuda, however, in a tshuva that the Pischa Tshuva quotes over here in Kuf Mem Zayin of Yerideya, the Nodib Yehuda says that Shituf is Isser for Goyim, but in the context of a Shavua, it's not. Meaning, shituf, in the sense of worshipping one God, one true God, plus something else, that's really usur. But swearing, haste nisht, worship. When you swear, that is not really worshipping the deity. So there are two approaches to the Tosfos. Ramo's approach to Tosfos is that Goyim have no tzivui on Shituf. And therefore, a Christian is not an Oved Avodah Zarah. Noydib Yehuda says, a Christian is an Oved Avodah Zarah, but for purposes of Shavua, we don't assume that Shituf is a problem in this limited Isser of Shavua. Now this is a very important yisod, no? You see, let's take this apart. We had so far two Shitas. Rambam, Christianity is pure Avodah Zarah. Meiri, Christianity is not Avodah Zarah. The Balei HaTosfos say something. I have to stop there, because I'm not really sure what. The Ramo's version of Tosfos is that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah for Christians. For Jews, Avada, Christianity is Avodah Zarah. For Christians, it's not. The Nodib Yehuda's version of the Tosfos is that even for Christians, it's Avodah Zarah. But if they swear the traditional Catholic oath, which is an oath that mentions Yeshu and God and the saints, if they swear that traditional oath, you're not in violation of the Isser of Lo Yishama Picha. But worship of a Christian deity for a Christian is Avodah Zarah, according to the Note of Yehuda. Now this, by the way, can open us up to a world of Lomdus, no? Everything comes down to Lomdus. That's like the beautiful thing about Lomdus. But the Ramah is telling me that there is a dual definition of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah for Yidden is one definition. Avodah Zarah for Goyim is a different definition. If a Jew would be a Meshatev Shem Shamayim and Dova Acher, Nekar Min Ha'olam, the Jew is considered an Oved Avodah Zarah. A guy who's Meshatev Shem Shamayim and Dova Acher is not an Oved Avodah Zarah according to the Ramah. Though the Yehuda would say a guy who's Meshatev is an Oved Avodah Zarah. Now, what this means is as follows. You see, let me ask you the Maharsha's kasha. Frek the Maharsha in Yevamos Mem Zayin. He asks the kasha, when we convert somebody to Judaism, we say, do you accept on yourself all 613 mitzvahs, correct? It's a beautiful thing. Why do you have to say you're accepting 613 mitzvahs? L'chor, you had seven of them beforehand, no? So shouldn't we just say, do you accept 606 mitzvahs? Right? Obviously, they're all going to be like pounding on the door to convert to Judaism. It's so much easier now. Right? You only need 606. Why? Right? You got the advanced math? 606 plus 7? Right? Equals 613. So why do you have to accept all 613 mitzvahs? The teretz is that even though we have the same iser in terms of a Jew's mitzvah and avodah zarah, a goy's mitzvah and avodah zarah, but the details, the contours, the nature of the iser of avodah zarah for Jews is different than the nature of the Isra of Avodah Zarah for Goyim. Mashal Mahadav Adom, a gezel, no? Tosfos points on both Metzia. If you want to see a beautiful write-up on this, Rav Gustman Zichrono Levracha. Actually, right now, they're sitting Shiva for Rav Gustman's son-in-law, Rav Michal Bernacker, who was just Nifter this week. They're in the middle of Shiva. I think it was Nifter Chol HaMoed. They're seeing Shiva now. Rav Michal Bernacker wrote the later volumes of the Kuntra Seishirim. Those of you who've ever been around Rechavia, there's like one yeshiva, right, in Rechavia, like the corner of Ibn Ezra and Ramban or something. There's like one yeshiva over there. What's it called? Ramalis? Nesach Yisrael. Right? Rav Gustman's yeshiva moved to Rechavia. So Rav Bernacker, who was Rav Gustman's son-in-law, and there was like a psak din that he's the only one entitled to publish Rav Gustman's Torah. So he was just nifter, Rav Michal Bernacker. So Rav Gustman, in his Shirim Bava Metzia, has a beautiful shir about the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach. Is Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach the pshat that Jews are obligated in those seven? No, it's totally different Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach. And says Rav Gustman, we see with respect to Gezel, Taisim Bava Metzia comments, that Gezel for Goyim includes Ribbis and Oina'a. Gezel for Jews doesn't include Ribbis and Oina'a. We see that the Isser of Talmud Torah to Goyim might be an Isser of Gezel. We see that Gezel Pachos Mishavah Pruta, also for B'nai Nayach, for B'nai Yisrael, only a Shavah Pruta. All this is Megala, right? Non-monetary stealing is also for B'nai Noach, but not also for B'nai Yisrael. No people speak about Gezel Shena, that you're not allowed to steal somebody's sleep, correct? If Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg points out in an article on the Kuntras that he read a few years ago, there's really no such thing as stealing your sleep, right? It's Hezek. I'm damaging you when I wake you up from your sleep, no? It's not really Gezel, correct? Gezel is something I take from you. If I would take your sleep, that'd be an awesome thing, no? You're asleep, and I'd be able to put the sleep into me. That would be like Gevaldik. That would be awesome. But that would be stealing, right? Gezel Shena is not really stealing. It's Hezek. But for B'nai Noyach, there is a yesod of Gezel, even if it's not monetary. Gezel pachos mishavah pruta. You see that Gezel is different by B'nai Noyach than it is by B'nai Yisrael. Arayas is different by B'nai Noyach than it is by B'nai Yisrael. There's a different table of Arayas for B'nai Noyach than there is for B'nai Yisrael. Gezel is different. Arayas is different. Is Avodah Zarah the same for B'nai Noyach and B'nai Yisrael? That's Machlokas, not the Yehuda and Ramah. Whether a guy who worships Avodah Zarah B'shitov is an Oved Avodah Zarah. For a Jew, Avada Gevissatz, Ovid Avodah Zarah. You see, Jews, and this formulation is something that Professor Stephen Schwarzschild mentioned a few years ago. I think he passed away already. Professor Schwarzschild's notion is that for Jews, absolute monotheism is the only accepted form of worship. For Goyim, according to the Rambam's version of Tosfos, there are other acceptable forms of worship, even if it's not absolute monotheism. Now, effectively, this dual definition has a lot of implications, no? It's not so pashut, by the way. We said that by a ger you have to accept 613 mitzvahs. There is a Sefer HaRokeach who says that Rus is gematria 606 because she accepted 606 mitzvahs when she converted to Judaism, no? That's already... It's interesting, right? You could give a whole share about this. It's all here. I mean, you have to like, spend 3 hours to understand like every paragraph of Gustman. He's like a real lamdan. But it's a beautiful shir that he has. So that's the Yesod. The Ramah assumes that there's a dual definition of Avodah Zarah. According to the Nadiv Yehuda, there certainly is Avodah Zarah for a goy of worshipping as a Christian. So now, let's go back. Yes, sir?
Can I just clarify what Rabbi was saying? Were there, if you would say that Rosh really only accepted, in a theoretical sense, accepted 606, that theoretically would mean that there would be more leeway on what's considered
I think if a guy would only have to accept 606, that would mean that the same yesod of Avodah Zarah for Goyim applies to Jews. Right? That would be the same.
Meaning stricter versus more lenient.
Some dinim is stricter, some dinim is more lenient. Okay. Like, right? In other words, Gezel and Avodah Zarah end up going in opposite directions. It's Anderish. It's different. It doesn't mean Besser, right? Or Eregir. It means Anderish. Hey, now you understand. It's different. It's not better or worse. Fine. Now, if you don't know Yiddish, by the way, you are missing out on thousands of years of Torah. Yes? Speak louder, because I'm deaf. Yeah, so that's interesting. Yayin Nesach, the Rishonim point out, Rashi and Tosfos and Kof Tesen, Rabbi Zerah, discuss that Yayin Nesach might have two separate prohibitions. Yayin Nesach, on the one hand, is a prohibition of intermarriage. On the other hand, it's a prohibition of Avodah Zarah. Right? The Ramah paskins in Yerideya, for example, that B'makom Hefzer Meruba, you can rely on those shittas that our Goyim are not actually Oved Avodah Zarah, in the sense that they're not genuinely religious, and therefore, B'makom Hefzer Meruba, we can say that the wine is not going to be Aser B'Hanocha. There are two dinim of Yayin Nesach or Stam Yenom, no? There's the Isser Shtiyah and the Isser Hanochah. The Isser Shtiyah and the Chaora, again, this is probably Machlokes Tosfos on the Rashba, on Daf Chof Tes there in Avodah Zarah. I could give a whole share about this also, which would actually be a lot of fun. I'm getting a little bit bored with this aspect. I'd rather talk about wine. But the point is that Tosfos on the Rashba discuss whether there's the Isser Hanochah and the Isser Shtiyah is one and the same. Or is it two separate Isurim, two separate tracks? So I don't think you could completely get rid of the Isur of Yayin Nesach or Stam Yenom, because you still have to contend with the prohibition of intermarriage, no? There's no worse than Bishul Akum, etc. Oh, now, the basic Yisod that we have over here is Halacha L'maaseh, how do I paskin about Christianity? So, for Jews, Christianity is certainly Avodah Zarah, no? Even the lenient version of the Tosfos is only saying that for B'nai Noach it might not be Avodah Zarah, and even then the Nodi Yehuda disagrees. So halacha l'maisa, I think we have to consider Christianity Avodah Zarah. Now, if you're going to tell me that there's a difference between Protestants and Catholics, you're right, there are differences between Protestants and Catholics, but in terms of fundamentals of faith, they largely all believe the same. In terms of the notion that God occupied a human form, which is the notion that makes Christianity Avodah Zarah, is true both among Catholics and among most Protestant sects. There are certain Protestant sects that are Unitarian Protestants. But, again, you really have to know your halachos of Protestantism very, very well, and which groups are which. It's not pashut, but l'cha'ora, although Christians in theory, you know, have statues in their church, Catholics have statues in their churches, a statue doesn't mean that they worship the statue either, no? There's something called the icon controversy. 9th century, right? So the icon controversy, basically, almost everyone, with the exception of the Armenians. The Armenians, like, always 2,000 years behind, right? So almost everyone assumed that they are just using those getchkes, and the icons, as a symbol. It doesn't mean that God is inherent in the Eitz Ve'Even. So, Christianity, in all of its forms, l'cha'ora, is avodah zarah, at least for a Jew. But there's a machlokas whether Christianity is avodah zarah for goyim. And this brings me to a problem. Someone gave me as a gift the Open Orthodox Haggadah. So I read it, because it's a gift. No, yeah. So the Open Orthodox Haggadah, Rabbi Hertzfeld writes on the paragraph of, I don't know, right at the beginning, the Kisha Amda or something, the Russia, he decides to talk about Christianity. And he writes that we should accept the opinion of the Meiri that Christianity is not avodah zarah. And therefore, you can give money to churches. And Rabbi Linzer, who's a Rosh Hashiva in Chovevei Torah, who's actually a very fine Talmud Chacham, a really great guy. When I was here in Yeshiva, so when I was in Yevamos with Rabbi Konigsberg, there were two people who we could ask any question to. They were Chavrusas. Rabbi Linzer owned the Chavrusa with Rabbi Bednarsh. And they, like, knew everything. Rabbi Linzer is a really, he's a Baal Midos, he has all the milas. I think he makes a mistake in this psak. He says that you're allowed to donate money. You know, there were some church fires in Charlottesville, South Carolina. Like, they were burning down churches. So he encouraged people to donate money to the churches. But Chaorah, it's really usur, because even if from the perspective of Goyim, it's not avodah zarah. But from my perspective, it is avodah zarah. So you get involved in complicated lifnei iver lomdus. If for me it's an aveira, but for you it's not an aveira, am I allowed to participate? I don't know. But one thing I do know is that historically the Rishonim dealt with these questions. The Rishonim said you can't give money to donate a church. Taisan Yadalad and Avodah Zarah has a discussion. Maybe if they would earmark the money specifically for a Beis Kisei in the church, maybe then you could be Megal. Right? L'cha'ora, whatever our attitude toward Christianity, based on all the positive developments after Vatican II, but it doesn't change their theology. And the Rishonim already paskened that Christianity is avodah zarah. Now, there might be some groups out there who are Unitarians, which means that they don't believe in any triune God. That could be true. It happens that there's like some umbrella group of all the churches. And in that umbrella group, they actually tried to kick the Unitarians and the Mormons out, because they felt that this is apocursus to the Christian faith. Now, in other words, we have to assume that Christianity is avodah zarah. I think lahalacha, it's a davar pashut, that for a Jew, it is avodah zarah. Now, Shiloh's come up, for example, and there was a whole back and forth in the journal Hakira about this. We used to have a president in this country called Barack Obama, no? It's like ancient history. So in the tikkuf of Barack Obama, there was an inauguration. And Rabbi Haskell Lookstein went to the National Cathedral for the inauguration of President Obama. And then the RCA chastised Rabbi Lookstein. By the way, it was probably not a good move on the RCA's part. And it's probably not the first time, and it's certainly not the last time that the RCA did something that's not a good move politically. Because, you know, this is the type of thing. You have an Orthodox rabbi going to the inauguration. Why do you have to get on the front page of the Times and say Orthodox rabbis condemn Orthodox rabbi for going to a church? Right? L'cha'ora, this is just like, you know, you can read the handwriting on the wall. This is not something that will turn out very good for anybody. So it ends up being a big back and forth about whether it's mutter to go into a church or not. And the argument that it's mutter to go into a church is, you know, the President of the United States invites you as an Orthodox rabbi to participate in the inauguration. You could potentially speak, you could speak to power. You could, like, defend Israel's interests. You can defend Jewish people's interests. Having a relationship with the President of the United States is absolutely an important thing, and there's potential hatzalah involved. On the other hand, going into a church is something that has a very, very long history among the Jews. There's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say someone's chasing after me with a knife, about to kill me. Am I allowed to run into the church to save myself? No? I remember years ago, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, a friend of Rav, came to Yeshiva for a Shabbos, and on Friday night, he used to have these things called press conferences. So someone asked Rav Aaron, are you allowed to go into a church to look at the artwork? So Rav Aaron says, let me perhaps give you an analogy for a Shulchan Aruch discussion. Someone's chasing after you. Any of you heard Rav Aaron? We mentioned into this anymore. This guy's in the Russian, the Rashba, someone's chasing after you with a knife. You're allowed to run into the church to save yourself. Some are mekel for pekuach nefesh. Some are machmir. The Pasha declares that you should be machmir. And something like this. But to look at artwork, push it also. Right? That's what he said. It's a power. Right? Traditional psak is that it's mamish also to go into the church. Okay, maybe there are some who are mekel for pekuach nefesh. Machlikas Russian Rashba. But can it be mekel to go to the president's inauguration? So there was a discussion. One rabbi wrote that maybe it's mutter because if we are mekel on the Isra b'chukosim lo'yseleichu means that I'm not allowed to, let's say, be megadol b'loyres. I can't have like long hair cut in a specific way. That's like the Isra b'chukosim lo'yseleichu. So we're mekel on that from a kurave malchus. And the Beis Yosef, from one opinion, writes that this is because l'masara hakosav al chachamim. Basically, you saw the Beis Yosef has many places of halacha, many areas of halacha. L'masara hakosav al chachamim means that the chachamim sometimes have a right to define the iser, and they're saying that the iser doesn't apply to mekurav imalchus. Right. So this other Rav wrote that maybe what he did was correct. So what he did was correct because for mekurav malchus it's permitted. So first of all, not so pashut, that's what the Beis Yosef holds. The Beis Yosef has two answers to the kasha. Beis Yosef and Kufayin Ches, I give it to you on the sources. He has two answers as to how come we allow you to, what's the heter? So Beis Yosef has two mahalchem. Moreover, one could argue that a makur of l'malchus is somebody who has an ongoing relationship with the king. In other words, in our time, I think Jared and Ivanka are makur of l'malchus. By every definition, no? The imamish, they are with him all the time. They really have his ear. Whatever kula you could give from makur of l'malchus applies in that type of situation. Maybe somebody like Malcolm Holmlein is a makur of l'malchus because his job is to represent the Jews. But if I'm a particular rabbi and I happen to just get invited to the inauguration, does that make me a makur of l'malchus? I don't know. Just because I'm there one time doesn't mean he's going to ever listen to me again. No? Let's say there'd be some pogrom against Jews in Schnippeshock. Would I be able to pick up the phone and call the president and get him to do something? We'll have to go. No? It's not pashut to be mekel based on makur of l'malchus. And whatever you're going to say, we have to recognize that traditionally, Jews would have been revolted, like we began with, from Rabbi Bleich. Jews would have been revolted by going into a church. It's a terrible thing. A Jew to go into a church, you could think, it's like any, the Jewish sensitivity would be like, how could I do that? How are you talking? Today, unfortunately, and the Open Orthodox Haggadah publishes that they think that we paskin like the Me'iri. Now, there were poskim who followed the Me'iri for Shailas. No, yeah, I'll take your question in a minute, Ms. Elbaz. There are poskim who paskin the Me'iri for Shailas, like for all of Klal Yisrael. You know, Rav Herzog, Zechron Lavracha, was the first chief rabbi of Israel, because Maran HaRav Kook was the chief rabbi before Hakamat HaMdina. So Rav Herzog was the first chief rabbi of Israel. Rav Herzog was working, actually Rav Goren, in his biography, writes that Rav Herzog used to call him in for like these conversations. Rav Herzog was trying to write a constitution for the Jewish state based on halakha. And they published some volumes of it. Hatchukah LeYisrael Pei Mishpatei HaTorah. No? It's a very beautiful book. Hatchukah LeYisrael Pei Mishpatei HaTorah. Rav Herzog wrote it. So Rav Herzog deals with the Shaila. You know, the Torah says that you have to destroy all Bati Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. Do we have to do that? Important Shaila, no? Is Christianity Avodah Zarah? So Rav Herzog thinks, you know what, that we could rely on the sheet of the Me'iri that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah, insofar as that we're not obligated to destroy their churches. Great. Right? That's a serious Shas HaDachak in terms of imagine what the New York Times would look like. Right? The state of Israel decides that they have a religious obligation to destroy all foreign houses of worship. Right? You don't have to use much creativity to imagine that this would not turn out well on the pages of newspapers, and this could be pikuach nefesh for Jews who are still living in Schnippershuk, Eishershuk, and New York City. Right? So, you can rely on the Me'iri then. She'ela gedola. But to rely on the Me'iri that you're allowed to go and speak in a church, that you're allowed to donate to a church, it seems to me that it's very, very, very questionable. So this is the first point. Mr. Elbaz, you had... This is just like the hakdama. We have like another 3 hours to go.
So certainly something you should do, take by case-by-case basis, but in the point where you said you went to the immigration... There's always going to be the first time you're called to meet with the king.
So again, and I'm not saying that it's completely unjustifiable, but it's a very serious question. I don't know. Again, I don't think the RCA was right in publicly chastising that rabbi. I don't think that was proper. Like Lozu Haderech. At the same time, the preponderance of evidence is that it's difficult, although, you know, people from Great Britain know that the chief rabbis have been attending coronations or whatever in Westminster Abbey, which is a church. I don't know if it's mutter, al pi halacha. Chacham Avad Yosef gave up his job in Egypt when they wanted him to attend a funeral in the church of like some high official. Now, I should note that the Gemara Avodah Zarah Yud Zayin tells me that the Isser to go into a Beit Harkek Me'olecha Avla V'al Tikra V'al Pesa El Pesach Besa. So the Gemara has two Mishainis, whether this applies to Minus or whether this applies to a Zona, no? Are you not supposed to walk by the door of a Zona? Sound advice, by the way, right? Or are you not supposed to walk by the door of a of Minos? The Gemara does not use the term Avodah Zarah. There are some who argue that Tzitz Eliezer maintains in his Tshuvos that it's even usher to go into a mosque. Because a mosque might not be Avodah Zarah. We believe that Islam is a monotheistic religion, but it certainly might be Minos. It's a wrong notion. It's a foreign religion to us. The minhag ha'olam has been that Jews have been going into Muslim houses of worship. No? Jews have been davening in Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Ma'aras HaMachpelah is a mosque. No? Jews have been going there to daven for hundreds and hundreds of years. So although the Tzitz Eliezer asers it, the minhag ha'olam has been to be mekel. But from the simple, there's a book, Headlines, by David Lichtenstein. Many of you hear that Shabbos that David Lichtenstein was on campus? You guys missed out. Zvei geschmack. So David Lichtenstein, when his book, Headlines, discusses that maybe the Isser should not be based on Avodah Zarah, maybe the Isser should be based on Minos, like the simple reading of the Gemara. If that's the case, one could support the argument of the Tzitz Eliezer. I give you the Tzitz Eliezer here, pages 6, 7, give Chacham Ovadia, 8, 9, 10, whatever, give you like all the tshuvas on this topic, on the Isser Shtickel Raya to the Tzitz Eliezer. By the way, the discussion we had about Makor of Lamalchus, I give you those Mar Makaymis, the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, on page 10 over here. Now, we're talking about not going into a church. Rav Shechter and a number of tshuvas that he wrote for the OU, and I think this is like the standard approach of Morei Hora'a, so you can't go into the actual sanctuary of a church. You can't even go through the main door of a church into a side room. But, you know, sometimes they have these big signs that say, Vote aquí. That means like, vote here, in Spanish, right? Not only do you have to know Yiddish, you have to know Spanish, right? So they have these signs, you're supposed to vote here. And some of the polling places are in churches. So you're allowed to go into a church to vote. So none the less of an authority than Rav Moshe Sternbach, who is, by any stretch, not modern Orthodox, Rav Moshe Sternbach writes in his tshuva is that if the voting is in the side room of the church, and it's not at a time when services are going on, and you're not going in through the main door, then it's permitted. I give kulas to people. For example, you know, sometimes there are groups, Alcoholics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous is actually a Porn Addiction Anonymous that meets in the Heights, that meets in a church. It's a terrible, terrible thing. People, Ladavonenu, really struggle with this. And these groups, these AA groups, whatever, often meet in a church. And can you go to them? I give people kulas to go as long as it's not a time that services are going on in the church and you're going in through the side entrance and it's meeting in the classroom or something like that. It's l'cha'ora, that's mutter, based on the guidelines that major poskim give. Certainly in something that's like, if we're mekel for voting, and anyone who knows, if you live in New York State, your vote doesn't really matter. New York State is going Democratic no matter what, right? So if you give a kula to vote, alachas kama v'kama toiva mechupelas l'mokam aleinu, you could give a kula for something as important as one of these anonymous meetings, right? L'cha'ora, that should be certainly permitted. There's a discussion in the Tshuvas Minchas HaLuzer. The Minchas HaLuzer was the Minchat Sherov, and the Minchas HaLuzer in his Tshuvas has a discussion about whether you're allowed to tell time by the clock on top of a church. So let me just tell you, I said this shiur in the Lower East Side last year, December 25th, and like one of the Halagiyanim from the Lower East Side tells me, oh, what's the answer? Right? So I tell him this, true in the Minchas HaLuzer, he says, let me tell you a story. Before I even finish the Minchas HaLuzer, he says, let me tell you a story. One time his watch broke, and he asked Reb David Feinstein on the Lower East Side whether he's allowed to tell time from the church clock. So Reb David Feinstein goes, takes his watch off his wrist, and gives it to this guy. So, unbelievable story. First of all, the chesed of Reb David, no? But is it mutter? So this guy's saying that you see that Reb David felt it's usher. I'm not sure. I think most posts can feel you're allowed to tell time from the clock on top of a church. The Minchas HaLuzer writes in the tshuva, you're not really getting hanukkah from the church. The only reason why they put the clock on top of the church is because their law is that the church is supposed to be built in the highest place of town, just like Alpi Halacha, by the way, is supposed to build a shul in the highest place of town, Lahavdo. The church is supposed to be built in the highest place of town, so therefore the clock is going to be on the top of the tower. But it's not really any Avodah Zarah. That's what the Minchas HaLuzer writes in the Tshuva. Okay, very nice. I think most posts can feel, almost everyone I know of, feels that it's not usher to tell time from the clock on top of a church. You're not getting Hana'a from Avodah Zarah. Aye, how come Reb David gave this guy the watch? Chesed. Yeah? I don't think that's such a chedesh. Now, middle of the Tshuva, the Minchas HaLuzer, he says, you know what, someone wanted to be mekel based on these shittas that Christianity is not really avodah zarah. And the Minchas HaLuzer could be very fiery. If you want to Google Minchas HaLuzer, go to YouTube, excuse me, and you look up Minchas HaLuzer, you'll see a video. Minchas HaLuzer, it's much like smoke coming out of his ears. The man was like the most verbrinta anti-Zionist on the planet, but a Kaddish Elyon, a Talmud Chacham who knew everything, right? And the Minchas HaLuzer, like, he's a tough guy. And he says, you want to say that we rely on these shittas that Christianity is not avodah zarah? So tell me, how come our grandfathers and great-grandfathers and great-great-grandfathers, why did they give up their lives not to worship avodah zarah, not to go into churches? Right? Why did they give up their lives? There's such a history over here of Jews who gave up their lives to say that it's not avodah zarah, to just like machavek, Right? You can't do that. Now, that doesn't mean that there are no tshuvas who argue it's not a void deserve. There's a tshuva of the Matan Levi. The Matan Levi was the Rav in Frankfurt am Main, not the Rav of the Austrit Gemeinde in Frankfurt am Main. He was the Rav of the Gross Gemeinde in Frankfurt am Main. He's like my intellectual father figure on some level. If you don't understand Washington Heights politics, you're not missing much, don't worry. But the Matan Levi and the tshuva says that it's a Kiddush Hashem to donate money to churches, and it's a beautiful thing, and should Christianity not really avoid the Zara. The Malamed Lahoel and Simon Kuf Mem Ches, or David Zvi Hoffman, said, Yishtoka Hadova Velo Ye Omer. Right? That's basically nice and Jewish for saying, shut up, don't say it. You're not allowed to say those shitos, says the Malamed Lahoel. Malamed Lahoel was on from the Grester Paiskim. The grouse of hell's sake, right? The Lama Lahoel, right, says you're not allowed to say that. That position, right? You can't say that to be out there giving money to churches. Again, you want to rely on this sheet of the Me'iri, you have to ask, how come so many Jews have given up their lives time and time again not to worship Avodah Zarah, not to become Christian, etc.? There are many other shailas that could come up in the context of Christianity. We're just like giving you a broad framework. I guess I could take one or two questions until Mincha. And yes, sir.
Nice. If someone gives you that that elephant as a gift or whatever it is,
it's probably Avodah Zarah. Yeah.
I'm saying. I think that they do. So what do you do?
It came up well, nicer for you.
Yeah. Dog one time, an Indian family came over and gave us an elephant as a gift.
It's very... again, you really have to know what you're talking about to Paschal Nishalos, the specifics of each of Avodah Zarah, what exactly it is. Those are shilohs to deal with, like, you know, if they come up. Dr. Berger has some story that he was once at a conference, and they a Catholic priest gave him a bottle of libation wine as a gift. Oh. And like, someone else, Yisuskar Katz posted on Facebook last year something to the effect of that he was thinking of buying a set of rosary beads for this woman who always helps him at a cash register or something, no? Mano Marladoni. Nothing to say. It's just, again, like... to build a case based on every shita that is dechuya is very, very difficult. Why do you have... You could give something else as a gift. Of course you should respect people who help you at the cash register. So buy a nice card, buy flowers, buy something else. To dafka buy a rosary bead and enter into these shilas, why? And again, I understand why he does it. He likes being provocative. He likes... What else? Hi.
What about taking a class, sponsoring the cloisters or something like that?
Yeah, so I have been... Okay, so there's another discussion. The cloisters is a now defunct monastery. They moved the monastery from France. It's now art. Looking at Christian art is another shaila, no? Christian art is probably an Isser Shabbos Kuf Mem Tes. Al Tifnu El Ha'elilim. The Gemara says, Al Tifnu El Mada'aschem. The Rambam has an extreme understanding of that Gemara. That means, according to Rambam, you're supposed to be thinking about God all the time. Most understand it means that you can't look at things that are meant to inspire thoughts of other religions. Looking at Christian art, and Moshe has a tshuva, I give it to you in the source packet somewhere, Moshe has a tshuva that he heard from his son Reb David, that the only intention of the Christians when they have Christian art is to get you to start thinking about Yashka. Get you to start thinking in these terms. They want to make their religion as beautiful as possible. Right? The notion that a Jew would want to go to look at art. Now again, this is difficult. For those people who have like nafsham chasheka in art, it's a very serious question. Like, what types of art is mutter? That's something that we can discuss. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to use all of our human faculties to serve him. But at the same time, the simple reading of the halacha is clearly that it's a problem. based on al tifnu el ha'elilim, based on, it might not be an issur of getting hana'a from avodah zarah per se, kol ma'ariv ha'reyach, ein b'hem mishum mi'ila, right? So it's probably not technically hana'a, although Tosis discusses in avodah zarah yud beis and mem zayin and elsewhere, there are three places in avodah zarah, I'm thinking in the third place, that maybe even hana'a shelo kedarko is usher by avodah zarah, but, and maybe even reyach would be usher, and kol ma'ariv might also be usher, but I don't think it's 2 days in the Tosfos. I don't think we have to be machmir on that dimension, but the entire hashgafa of it, I think, is very mistaken. Like Rav Schechter writes, the entire hashgafa is very mistaken. Like Rav Moshe writes in that tshuva. Yeah, I'm getting a little dizzy. Any other questions? Okay, we solved all the world's problems, huh? Okay, again, it's a very important, like, just to conclude. You know, we live in a world, we have to interact with people of other faiths, and we can and should join forces with them in positive things for the common good. But at the same time, we have to understand that our God is described in the Torah as a jealous God. We have to understand that theological conversations, when they take place, should only take place among people who really know what they're doing. An average guy in Semicha should probably stay very, not should probably, should definitely stay very, very, very far away from engaging in any of these conversations. These are conversations which Gedolei Ha'uma, people who know Torah, people who have mastered, one of the unfortunate things that's going on in the world is like every little kid decides, you know what, I'm going to engage in these conversations. Tell me, have you finished Shas with Tosfos yet? If you haven't finished Shas with Tosfos, if you're not like a real Lamdin, so you should really avoid these questions. You should really avoid getting involved. Like, you shouldn't do it. Leave it. Now, I'm not saying that there's no place for it. There was a whole discussion whether Rav Soloveitchik's guidelines in confrontation are still binding or not, etc. The Rav gave clear guidelines. And there are some who have been involved in these conversations, but it's something that people have to know their place. You have to know your place in Torah, and certainly you have to know your place. You know, if they're going to start throwing scripture at you, you're Yeshiva Bacher. What do you know from the book of Isaiah? Let's be honest. Right? You got to really know stuff if you want to get involved in these conversations, and I strongly, strongly, strongly recommend leaving it for like the heavy hitters. Okay, Chevra, thank you for listening.
We've got a minute and 30 seconds here.